This is February 9th here in the afternoon. A little different voice. Corky should be along soon.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together, O Lord, that your truth would flow, your spirit of truth, O Lord. Lord, that it would ever be in our lives, O Lord, that we would know your truth when we hear it. Lord, that we would be people of truth that would hear your voice. You came to bear witness to the truth, O Lord. We ask that we hear that truth, and if it's not truth, that we recognize it as being not truth by your spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Chuck, what if you come and close that curtain part way? It'll just that size.
Just right side?
Yeah, I think just that size.
Just right side.
Boy, it looks pretty even to me, Keith.
Yeah, no, but take this thing here and pull that one back over too. Ken is going to be.
Grabber.
That grabber. Reach over and grab that side and pull the one over.
Hey. I will. There'll be a housing allowance check, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I'm just By
you say the 20th?
No. We never. I don't keep track.
Oh.
It's just sometimes he'll have it in the bio if
I
come on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay.
He'll forget to give it to me, and then he'll receive Friday, and so I don't want it.
I see. Yeah.
So
right.
Okay. Like
yeah.
So, okay.
There will be what? Okay. Yeah. No.
No. Okay. All
right.
When is Shannon going home?
She said before dark. And since we all have our own opinion of what that means, I don't know. I'm not judging that.
Same point.
Bear with us. We're still here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not full of any great revelation or anything at the moment, but
I don't either, right off. I'm certainly willing to add my two bits when someone else says something.
I was reading that area again in Revelation about waiting for 1,000 years. Right? And I was trying to figure out, well, the interesting part about it is, you know, you've been mentioning that vision you had and everything, and the one little part, and I don't know if I read this maybe before I brought this up. I'm just going to read this at the end of it. Number what it's chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So,
you have to be martyred in order to rule and reign in that during that.
Well, it just said you didn't, but some of it, well, it says some were beheaded, but.
Well, I think that's all.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what it does. That's all it said. Who had not
only do you have to die, you have to lose your head.
Well, it could be kind of reference to John the Baptist.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he lost his head.
So then that's not when he calls everybody.
No.
And judges everybody.
No. That's the first resurrection, the way I read it.
But, so is there somewhere that implies that something happens?
Well,
you know, it's kind of hard because in, you know, when it speaks of, I think it's in Thessalonians or stuff, it talks about someone's left and one's taken. You know, but then Jesus says, well, when you start to see all these things happen, look up, you know. Well, there's a whole lot happens up to this point in Revelation. I mean, you go through all the woes and the trumpet of the angels that all bring in plagues and everything, and the mark of the beast is, and all that.
But the confusing part about Revelations is what order this happens.
Yeah.
Because there is no real order.
That's why I tried reading through it the other day and just trying to see if there's a break where you can distinguish, well, that's just one view and then another. But I don't know. It's weird because all I know is there's a whole lot of stuff that comes from the angels that ain't good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because there's the trumpet sounds, and then there's the woes, you know. Yeah, seven trumpets, that's in 8. But then there's the seals that get opened before that. And I don't know if that's just showing different things or the same thing, you know. That's what's the confusing part about Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't necessarily say it's chronological.
Right.
Mm. Trying to penetrate that book without...
Yeah, you got to have a spirit.
Yeah. On the other hand, the words say what they say. And it sounds as though there will be ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years, and identifies those who will be doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the thing is that's really close to the actual end, because after that, the devil is released because he was put in the pit.
Uh-huh.
And then they go to war and wham, and then he gets thrown impermanently into the lake of fire.
Yeah, and he is given access to people.
Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start seeing a new heaven and earth and a new city, Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It's all good stuff after that.
Yeah.
You know,
Keith, do you have an approach to that book, or not a specific one necessarily, but...
Well, and then I read, you know, the Philadelphia Church message, you know. But that mostly just says those who... Well, and it says you will not see the trial that's going to come upon the earth.
Yeah.
So that would mean this probably is a rapture.
Yeah, when does that take place? Before all this?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it says that the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then the rest will be taken up in Christ. Or, you know, but again, what sequence does that happen? You know.
I know, and what status? It sounds as though whatever happens to not just Philadelphia, but all of those churches, is a good thing that happens right away to them. Now, I guess you can't be absolutely certain that it's right away, but it certainly suggests that it's right away.
Right away when?
Right sooner than whatever occurs there at the time of the millennium.
Oh.
You know, all the everything that's transpired there in the book of Revelation. You know, there we are in a good place.
They're in a good place if they do a different thing.
Right, if they meet the conditions, right.
But also in Revelation, and I can't tell you where, the dead are crying out, how long must we lie before...
That's right.
Yeah,
they,
and he says, lie just a little while longer.
Right.
So, again, there's
all
a little more confusion in it.
So the rest of your brethren are martyred, I think it says. You know, so it's like, it's not a big deal if you do get killed. Because you're going to be part of all them that get everything, no matter what.
Well,
you know, you were standing for Christ.
And the thing is, those that don't get called up in the resurrection, they're not going to know the difference anyway. Until the second judgment comes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is... But if these people are reigning, the people on earth must know they're reigning.
Yeah.
You know?
You gotta reign over something.
So that may help win over a bunch, because the enemy isn't there to dissuade people. You know? There may be a whole lot of people coming into the kingdom during that time just because they're not hindered by Satan.
Yeah, and it does say in there that some will be converted after all this, during this process too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's why, you know, I kind of saw for a long time, just when the tribulation comes, doesn't mean nobody will get saved during or after that. It just means there's tribulation.
Yeah. In fact, I think it does say that they talk about the tribulation of saints, and I think there's something there in Revelation suggesting that there would be tribulation of saints.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would say tribulation is when the beast is reigning and putting the mark on everybody. You know, because that's when he's got his most power, and he's going to be against anybody that's not for him, the strongest during that time. You know, that's why a lot of them says we're beheaded. So, yeah, it's that's pretty creepy, you know. You better know whatever that mark is that you don't get it, you know. Don't take it. I don't, you know, and as I was reading, I was trying to just let my mind be open to the Spirit. And you know, these kingdoms and the beasts and all the kings, and I don't know how much of that is actual individuals. You know, it could be like, well, like the harlot. It's like, that could be just like a overlying spirit or something that's caused, you know, that causes all temptation to come and draw you away. And, you know, like, it's just what's ruling in the earth to sensual things, you know. All like, how good do you feel, or how good can you get, or, you know, it's like, not necessarily all sexual, but sensual, you know, and it's, and how good a life can you have, and all that, you know, it's, I don't know, it just seems like, because some of the way I read it, it just doesn't seem like you could be in one exact place that she sits necessarily. Like systems, that's what I'm trying to say. Systems that are ruling throughout the earth, you know, major systems that are not godly, you know.
You mean like the government?
Sure. Like different, you know, areas where the religions have the, other religions have the say-so, you know.
Yep.
Every time I read it, it says, and all the kings and those merchants that did traded goods with her, you know, are standing in awe and they're like really shocked and sad that she's falling. And I'm going, well, what is that? You know, that and a harlot. I'm thinking, you know, all the time the church is referred to as she. You know, female side of things. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's specifically just Catholicism. But it's part of that. Because, remember, the Roman Empire, which was Catholic, more or less. I mean, there were parts of it that weren't. I mean, but all that was the predominant, you know, religion at the time. And that was through the Dark Ages and everything. Well, there was all kinds of, you know, they were conquering and taking over and getting all kinds of treasures and everything and ruling, you know, making, they weren't ruling godly, but they were ruling under the guise of God. And, you know, I mean, they were massacring people and you know, what is it when you put somebody to death, put people to death?
Executing
people. And at the same time, if you were in favor, then you got to trade with that kingdom, you know, that was under that. So I don't know. You know, it's kind of a funny thing because it, you know, a harlot is one that you'd want to have pleasure with. I mean, that's why they're there and that's why men go to them.
It's
to have pleasure. And so if you're going to a system that is operating to have, and you want to gain pleasure from it, whether it be wealth or whatever, you know. It does say she deceived people into fornication and everything else, you know.
Now that seems a lot more like something that could be a metaphor for a system.
Yeah.
As opposed to these folks that were executed and had their heads chopped off and then ruled and reigned for 1,000 years with him. Now that one's not quite so easy to turn into a metaphor.
No, that one seems pretty obvious.
But we're talking about individuals. So,
yeah.
Or it sounds as though it is.
Yeah, it says priests and what is it? Priests and, or maybe that's what it says.
Well,
see what happens when you hesitate? priests of God and of His Christ.
And for the Church of Philadelphia, he says, I know your works, Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. If this is an end time situation, if that's what it's referring to, they have to be a peculiar, strange type of people. Because through the Dark Ages and down through the time, you know, since Christ, there has not been much keeping the Word of God or keeping the name of God or the name of Christ. And I mean, it's been a strange time. He says, "I've set before you an open door, okay, and no man can shut it." Whoever that people are, you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. And it's like, who is this? Who are we talking about? Or is it something that God is raising up toward the end of time? It looks to me like that's what it is. It could be a people right now. We could be a part of it.
Don't you think all the churches are at that time? That he's addressing? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, I was reading through them again, and I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, there can be double meanings. It could be addressing the conditions for a particular church that was in existence at the time that John had that vision. But then there is like an echo or a meaning that also applies to certain aspects of what's occurred. You know, the thinking was that it was it just covers the church age. And the Church of Philadelphia is ahead of us, along with the Church of Laodicea. Now, whether that's just so, I don't know, but it's not confined, I don't think, to meaning addressed to a particular church back at the time of John. And it may be that it applies to various church situations that are occurring more or less simultaneously. You know?
Well, none of them say they're at any particular time.
No, but there were those the time of John. There were those churches.
Oh, all of them, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there was a church in Smyrna, there was a church in
Smyrna. Yeah, I mean, because, well, I just, because Sardis is the one before Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come to you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Well, sounds pretty good to me.
It does sound good.
I mean, they all have a good ending, basically, where you could be. And so, yeah, I was wondering. I don't know. You know, that Philadelphia has the one part that says, you know, I'm coming, hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown, he overcomes, I will make a pillar. Where else? You know, where's the part where it says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
What verse?
That's the one that you've read a lot.
There in
10.
In Philadelphia.
3:10.
What does it say in your translation? Because you've kept the what?
Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon you. The whole earth detests those who dwell on the earth.
What translation is it?
New King James.
You know, we don't know what happens after our natural death. We know we can. We don't know what happens to those who are saved. You know, whether they rest in Christ for, and then if you're in eternity, what does time mean anyway? You know, I don't know that things are chronological if they're eternal.
Something just popped up here, you know, and still in Philadelphia. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down on him from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Well, there's a reference now later where it says Jesus comes, and I believe he says that he will give them a new name or something. So that might kind of put it in a setting, you know.
Yeah, so there's a new name written on stone or something? Is that the one you're thinking of?
I don't know. Yeah, their names are written on stone.
White stone?
Yeah, white. But I don't think I'll be able to find it right now.
If the name New Jerusalem is upon them, that's something that's
kind of towards the end.
Yeah, it is. It's after the millennium. Mm-hmm. You know, that New Jerusalem comes descending down. And so if their name is written on the very tail end of things, the total wrap-up of the ages after the millennium and after the Satan has been cast in the lake of fire, there, you know, if they have a place at that point, it just raises real questions about the sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we can draw any conclusions about what the about sequence.
But I was just reading chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Yeah.
Well, there's some sequence suggested by that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, and then 14, then I looked and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Well, they already got a name. Whatever that is.
Now he is being shown a vision. It's a vision he's having here.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't it, you know, there are truths that are being expressed in that vision,
yeah,
but they aren't necessarily a one-to-one, you know.
Yeah, it still doesn't, it's still what's going to happen, but it doesn't give them the order.
The order or the particular, you know, I don't know that if it is supposed to be an indication of what we should expect, and now a good deal of the book of Revelation sounds pretty specific, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But
nonetheless, it is a vision. It's a vision. And I think we should see visions as expressing a truth, but not one that necessarily would be newspaper reporter kinds of recitation of events. I don't know.
Yeah.
there is no way that the book of Revelation can be anything but puzzling. So, you know, part of the reason what you just highlighted here, the, hey, sounds to me as though you got to rule and reign after you lost your head. I hope you read it yet. During this ruling and reigning.
Well, you know, then the thought popped into my head. Maybe they are just ruling and reigning in heaven, but overseeing the earth without us actually knowing they're there necessarily. But you would know that the devil wasn't around because, you know.
Yeah, we're not.
Chapter 20, I think.
Of the dead men shall not live again until the 1,000 years is finished. But yeah, what are they ruling and reigning?
Well,
are the people that are
on the earth resting? Well, because it's it says he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. Until the 1,000 years were finished. So up until then,
sounds as though it is Satan's deception. It says the people. Sounds like that's a lot of them. Not all of them.
Well, let's see. He sat on thrones. Judgment was committed to them. Which you can be judging here, or you can be judging from heaven.
And there is judgment that is occurring after all of these things happen. She gave up her dead.
Yeah, that is interesting. It doesn't automatically mean everyone's aware of the being where they are, I guess.
If your name is not written in the Lamb in the Book of Life, then you're cast into the lake fire.
Right.
All in all, I prefer chapter 21.
Yeah. It's a lot better.
I guess not. You picking and choosing.
Yeah.
I like that one about God wiping all the tears from their eyes.
Yeah.
But unless I be like Mabel Louise here, I like the scripture.
Yeah, that was one of her favorites.
Right. Yeah, this is one of my favorites.
You know, I've come to kind of think, too, it's just my thinking, nothing, you know, but I think we made a lot of presumptions about what people are doing and where they're at now in Christ that have passed. Because a lot of this sounds like it's when later, you know, that all the tear and everything, and you don't. I mean, because look at it says the dead will rise. The dead in Christ will be resurrected, will rise. Well,
I thought they'd already went to heaven. You know, now that could be a metaphor too, you know, but it's like, are they just kind of just incognito, or are they in a nice place in paradise but haven't received the full reward yet? You know?
Paul didn't really have the picture in his mind accurately either. He says, and we which are alive and remain. You know, so he's not really seeing the picture. Totally, he doesn't know for sure either, you know.
Where does he say that?
Sounds like Thessalonians.
Because that kind of, that's saying something too, that we that are alive and remain. So, somebody went before them, him? Or is he just saying that?
There could be a blessed place, certainly. And that, you know, if it is eternity, then...
I should know or I don't.
Oh, I think it's either first or second Thessalonians when he talks about we who are alive and remain.
It must be in first Thessalonians. Let's see.
And thus we shall ever be with the Lord.
But you may walk backwards from you, but I do not want you to be ignorant of setting those who have fallen asleep, but your sorrow is others who have no hope, for we believe it. Let's see.
I think it's maybe
Jesus tagged the other thing, so
4:15 or so.
But we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him.
Where is it?
Chapter 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16.
That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep.
17, yeah.
No, that's
be caught up in
the clouds. It says it in 15 also.
Meet with the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. This is chapter. Verse 17 there.
But it says it before that too. It says it's 14 and 15.
Even so, them which sleep in Jesus.
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep.
Yeah.
So when is all this happening?
You know what? Enoch goes around to this. And he walked with God, and he was not because God took him. How many people actually knew what had happened at that time? There and I said, no, they can't find him. You know?
Yeah, we don't know if that testimony was revealed to them at that time or if it's just something that was revealed later.
And so.
Then he walked with God and God took him, you know?
How many things like that, you know, God can do whatever God wants to do. If God wanted to take a few people around us at this moment and they're all gone. We would know what they're doing.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's no certainty that the events that are described in Revelation have application to all people at all times. Maybe Elijah is kind of sidelined in this whole deal. Just is not participating. He's off, he's off in another section.
There are too many unknowns.
Right.
That we're trying to take some and read the book of Revelation and understand something that nobody understands.
Yeah.
Well, what's kind of interesting here in Thessalonians is here he's not talking about a rapture. He's talking about when the trumpet sounds and Christ comes. Right? But then he also, I think later, is it maybe it's in 2 Thessalonians, There's another place that he, or maybe it's Peter talking about it. Somebody talks about, where does it say? One is in the field, is that in Acts?
I think that's in what, the Gospels.
I think it's a word, Matthew.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. And I thought there was somewhere else, too, in the New Testament where it said something like that.
Or the epistles?
Yeah.
The thing that is a problem for me is that dream I had.
Well, that could apply to any of them.
It could.
It's not, because there's no time period necessarily in that dream.
No, but it had to do with my beads and my mirror.
Well, your own participation required you that.
It had to do with, you know, and not that I was in it, but it was something that was close to the end.
But it was a vision, though, in a sense.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I mean.
Yeah. But it was. There were people that were in the field. You know, it wasn't like they were in a church building or something, but they were in a field. And there were more being added to it, and all of a sudden the sound of the trumpet. Is there going to be more than one trumpet?
If it is eternity, we're talking about eternity. We're not talking something that's measured by the clock or the calendar or anything. We're talking eternity.
Yeah.
Well, what really, I guess, becomes apparent is just walk in Christ like you know, the best that you can, and you'll be rewarded through one of these one way or another,
yeah.
You know,
uh-huh,
rather than
yeah.
trying to figure out, I better be good now because,
yeah.
you know.
I don't find it inconceivable that one could be in the very group that you saw ascending, you know, in that group, and maybe more or less imminent. You know, we're talking about the short-term future. I can see that being, and yet there'll be another sense in which all the stuff that's here in the book of Revelation plays out. You know,
I mean, the number in that field, it could be thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
You were just seeing a few of them, you know.
Small
number compared to what's left as population on the earth, but.
And that if I saw something that was, you know, in the future here, it could be different places all over the world. All I saw was one little area.
Yeah, right.
I think a dream like that can be intended to convey a truth.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm
sure of it.
Yeah. There is the Lord is going to be doing that. He is going to be gathering his people up to go to heaven.
And I see something in the book of Revelation to the Philadelphia church that is uncommon. And I think I see it working kind of throughout the church right at this moment. You know, he says, I have sent before you an open door. No man can shut it. For you have a little strength, You have not, you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. That's uncommon. If I'm reading this right, everything I see in here is uncommon. I will make you a member of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and they're not. You know, and, by saying they're Jews, you know, they're followers of Christ. I mean, they're not talking about the
chosen people.
No. Yeah. And anyway, and because you have kept my word, the word of my patience, and how is it? I know how is it that near in the New King James, but I will keep you from the hour of temptation.
Not every hour there is temptation. Well,
but there must be periods that are
right.
A real hour of temptation as opposed to...
Well, that's interesting because the King James says temptation and one says trial.
Okay. Well, the two are the same.
Yeah,
so they're
right. It's the same. Well, yeah, it could be tempting you to deny Christ to take the mark.
Now we have a trial.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To not be in the trial, but if you want to stand.
I believe that there will be great difficulty, but there will be a great ministry opportunity. I believe that's ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
I believe, you know, how the cards fall, I don't know. But I believe those two things. It will be hard, but it will be good, or at least potentially good. It'll either be good or very bad.
Well, I think if you're ministering for the Lord,
you'll
be in glory.
Yes, that's
whether
right.
you're
that's
being, right. you know,
yeah, your circumstances
persecuted
can be terrible
or whatever. Yeah,
right. I have been looking forward to that throughout the time that I've been a Christian. I look forward to that great ministering opportunity.
Yes, me too.
And, you know, there's plenty of basis in the Bible for expecting that.
And
now, what goes on in connection with the book of Revelation?
People may not want to hear this, but there's a whole lot of people that think they've been doing that ministering that really aren't.
Right. Operating in flesh or whatever.
Yep.
But as you said earlier, we really have no business being too certain of what someone's condition is.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know.
At the one point when I would read about the churches, I just thought it was showing different areas of the church itself that were being addressed. You know, some of you had this weakness, some of you had this, some of you didn't do this, but if all of you, almost all of them, it gives them the opportunity to repent or stand firm in what you have, you know.
And I think that has to be...
It's like good... They're all characteristics of a good church, a good body of Christ.
Yeah, and the difficulties they might encounter and the ways in which they fell short and dealing with those difficulties and whatever. Well, I think they're... Yeah, I can do that. I just see it all as kind of fluid. We make a mistake to make it solid, not unchanged. No. The truths of the Holy Spirit are fluid things. They're the wind.
twin.
There's one aspect where you can really say you know nothing. It's the book of Revelation, for the most part. But there's been insights.
I
feel I've gotten some enlightenment, you know. But nothing that figures it all out, not even close, you know.
Well, the parts of Revelation I just absolutely love. Me and Mabel Louise. No, stop picking on the woman.
Yeah.
Is she still alive?
Maybe not.
She'd
be pushing 100 if she is. Len, you have kind of focused to a degree anyway on the book of Revelation.
No, not no more than any other books, but I mean, it's good. It is confusing, you know. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we probably just spend too much time trying to put it in some kind of an order, you know, and we can't, as you know, my mind couldn't do it. I mean, we have to accept the fact that what's going to happen is going to happen, but it's going to be in God's time frame that it does happen.
Yeah.
But he's letting us know what is happening. It's like picking out a book in the store and reading the back page so you know what happens, you know, but you still read the whole book, but you know the ending. Well,
sure.
You can read the whole book, but you never you know the ending, but you don't know how it's going to get there.
Well, but you're right. I mean, it is there.
Yeah.
And it moves us to consider it. We have to give it some. Now, perhaps there probably is such a thing as dwelling on it too much. And, you know, but we have to. We shouldn't just shove it off to the back of the closet or whatever.
Right. Because I don't know if dwelling on it too much, but. But each time you do go into it, you're going to pick up something a little bit more. So I can't say dwelling in it too much, maybe not enough.
Maybe not. Yeah. You know. There could be new things in there.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny, for a long time I was listening to different discs, you know, different parts of the New Testament. And I remember I had Revelations at one point, I think in my bedroom. And that's all it played for a month. You know, but that didn't mean I got some huge revelations, but I did. I feel like then when I went to read it, little things would pop up, just not huge things. So I hope today it doesn't sound like I was trying to figure anything out.
No.
I just read it again, and the thing that popped up for me was first resurrection, you know. And so, I mean, there's a second. But that doesn't mean that the first resurrection is a rapture either, you know.
Well, it said those.
If there is a rapture, you know.
Well, it does state in here that the dead in Christ will be raised up, and those that are on the earth will be raised up for them after the dead in Christ are raised. So it does kind of put it in some order in that part. And I can't tell you where and there it is, but
you know. But I think that could happen even after that 1,000-year reign.
Well, who's going to do the reigning then? Those that are already dead in Christ?
No. I mean, there's people that reign for 1,000 years, but that part where it says the dead will rise first—that's when the trumpet sounds, when Christ is coming back.
And that's after the.
That's after that reign for 1,000 years.
All right. I did not know before today that those who ruled and reigned for 1,000 years did not have their heads on.
But I have a problem with that, because it says we will reign with him for 1,000 years. Who's him then, if he's not there?
Well, I think it's Jesus.
Well, it's with Christ, but it's not. I'm trying to, because the other part we're referring to is Thessalonians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and then there can be more that happens after that.
That gets into chapter 21, though, pretty much.
Yeah.
Let's see. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, we don't know for sure when that is.
Right.
I don't think that's before that thousand-year reign, because when this happens, that's pretty much saying everybody that's going to be with God is going to go then. I would think.
You know, I think it is safe to say that there will be difficulty and turmoil both on earth and in heaven. And it will be, there'll be a lot of it. A lot of it. You know? But then there will be peace in the valley. You know, the really end of the story will be, you know, that city, the New Jerusalem, descending from heaven.
Yeah, because that's when
that is peace.
But see, no, in 4:17 in Thessalonians, it says, then we who are alive and remain. I gotta get the right light here, guys. Okay. And when we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Them has got to be the one, the dead in Christ being raised up.
Right. But that would be at the very end.
And after the thousand years?
I'm thinking after the thousand, because, in Revelation at the end of 20, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. So that's, and all the dead in the sea, Hades, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, I think when all those arise and dead, that's going to be when they come to the new heaven and new earth.
I would think. Maybe they're missing out on all the stuff that runs from Revelation 5 to 20, whatever. Which wouldn't break my heart to miss out on that.
No,
stuff.
No.
Oh, darn. That looked like so much fun.
Well, and it's in the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And that New Jerusalem is when you come to the bride.
Right.
The bride and the groom and the supper table,
Yes, yes, yes. And that is a glorious prospect.
Yes. Don't know, but, don't know.
I don't either.
I think some of that, though. I feel like that can be revealed. If we just say, put it before the Lord. I think that can get put in order, that couple of things that we just discussed.
Well, I think that what we have said today, it leaves, gives me not a clear picture of all that's going to happen. I'm holding it all. But at least some sense of what is up there in the book of Revelation, maybe a little bit of a glimmer, and maybe an opportunity, a cracked door for the Holy Spirit to widen that door, the open door, even some more.
Yeah. It just seems like that. For some reason, that thousand years is just dropped in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's that is time as opposed to eternity.
Yeah.
But is that man's thousand years or God's thousand years?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
One day it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You know, I mean, because they went through that trial and didn't take the mark and got beheaded, it was like God said, well, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to let you reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Then, when that's true, I'm going to bring everybody up.
So, is that going on now?
Yeah.
For 1,000 years?
I don't think so, but... Because I'm being tempted big time by the devil a lot. So that's one reason I'm...
Yeah, I don't think he's been bound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not my experience.
But it could be something like that. That's what I was wondering. You know, when I say... You know, because it says they're on thrones. Well, thrones where? Thrones in heaven or thrones on the earth? You know?
Right.
You know, the idea of reigning, at least on its face, doesn't seem like such a wonderful thing to me. But it obviously is supposed to be wonderful. And I wonder in what sense that reigning is a...
Well, I think the good part of it is because it's with Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
So that takes some burden off of you, kind of.
Right.
Yes.
And we can only look at that word reigning in our own human mind.
That's right.
You know, we're not, seeing it the same way it's probably being meant.
And certainly, if he has things ministering to do during this reigning process, I for one would love to be participating in what he's doing.
So, oh, yeah.
You
know? I think it'd be glorious.
Yeah. Be a tool in his hand, so to speak. So, maybe in that respect, the reigning.
So, what would you like to do, Charlie? If you had your choice, what would you pick in this reigning stuff? Just out of the clear blue. Just...
I would like to, for those who have been hurt, be somehow or other the minister of Christ's healing, touching that one healing.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, you know, to heal their hurts, their pain.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
And blessing people.
Yeah, and getting them out in the right path, or moving forward, you know.
Those who are discouraged bring light to that discouragement, so,
that's like a time of healing for the whole earth.
Yeah.
Because Satan's taken out of the way, how else would you be bringing? Because it wouldn't be like, every day brings so much gold in or whatever. I mean, it's not going to be anything like that.
No, right.
It's going to be righteous type of reigning, not lording.
Keep it in spirit, not in human, in your own physical mind. Yeah, and that's where the problem comes in the fear of getting in that position. You know, am I ready to do this? No, I'm not.
Well, I think when he chooses, I don't think you'll be dealing with that because
right, yeah,
that's
right.
The blessing you're getting for what you went through.
Right,
but
yeah.
Your reward is, you know,
being. Yeah,
I don't think you'll be much in self at that point.
You know.
Who knows?
A thing happened to me here. Last week or sometime. Let me tell you about it. I was waiting in the waiting room there at my cancer place for my radiation, and I saw a lady reading a book called Intercessory Prayer by Gus Sheets.
I think you shared this.
What is it?
Did you hear it?
I don't know.
I think I did, but go ahead. Maybe it was at a different time.
Okay.
Been a Sunday night or something.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
she talked about having battling strongholds, you know, with having a lot of heavy problems with strongholds in her life. And I asked her, would you like to pray? You know? And she said, yeah. and perhaps maybe I did tell. But anyway, I pray that the Lord would she'd find a door out of that stronghold that would be revealed to her, shown to her, and that she'd be able to escape the stronghold, and that the Lord open your take her by the hand and let her out of this stronghold thing. And if there be mist that block the view, then clear the mist. And then I got called, had to go for my appointment. One thing I probably didn't tell you was that I ran into her here, maybe earlier this week, and she said there had been a wonderful breakthrough in relationship.
Yeah, you knew the end. There was that part.
Son.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something of some sort that happened. But anyway, I don't know exactly why I thought that was something to bring right now, but except that it was first of all strange, you know, doing that in the lobby of, you know, the waiting room of the.
But see, that goes into what we talked about just prior to that about going out and healing, and that kind of form of what you did.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think it ties in with that.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, it would be a little bit of a...
Yeah, the beginning.
Maybe the point I was going to make earlier, and it's certainly true, is that that kind of thing has really been on the shelf for me. You know, I haven't exercised that stuff. And it was, the Lord was, make use of this stuff when the opportunity comes. But, you know, I don't want to, it's a little weird to be doing that intercessory prayer stuff right there. But people on the other hand, man, so what? You know? Anyway.
How dare you be praying in a public place? Actually, is that considered public when it's a hospital, which is private, more or less?
It's not government, sir.
Yeah, it's not government.
But it's certainly open to the public.
Right.
So in that respect, it's a public place. Now, if I wailed too loudly, yeah, maybe I would caution to hold it down.
Or leave.
Or something, yeah. Don't you have an appointment or something?
Didn't I hear your name called?
Yeah, right.
Like but those are the kind of attacks you get, you know?
Yeah. Well, gosh. You know, you have to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
And yet, you don't want to have that govern everything absolutely, or, you know.
Yeah, because it can be dominating. Well, I don't, you know.
Uh-huh. On the other hand, if you're not willing to look foolish for Christ, then what's up with that?
Yeah. A lot of people lost their head for it.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose your head illegitimately.
No, you really don't, do you? Yeah. And,
although, if it was in your mind that you were doing it for him, I don't know how that works. Yeah.
Well, I think that you...
I think in that situation, you'd know what the consequences are, and you wouldn't just be doing it in your flesh. You know what I mean?
I guess, but you know, you'd be so full of your own
thoughts, that you're not leaving room for the Holy Spirit to be able to be prompting you.
Oh, yeah, I think that's very true.
Yeah.
You know.
And so if your own thoughts take you to some place where you end up getting killed, so, you know, you haven't been in line with what the Lord is.
You're right.
You know, you haven't.
If I fall under the guise of, you know, like, taking up a snake just to say that you won't die from getting bit.
Right.
And it wasn't by the Lord, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Provoking or tempting the Lord.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You can show off in the spirit. Not in the spirit, but spiritually. Engaging in what appears to be a spiritual activity, you can be showing off.
Yeah.
I think I've done it. Not very much, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But
no, I
think I've done it.
I think I probably have done the same thing.
I think it depends on your nature, too.
I
a lot of times.
Yeah.
Something like that, you know.
And maybe, you know, these things are always a mixture of things sometimes. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Repeatedly through the book of John and 1st and 2nd John, Jesus says, if you love me, do what I say. If you love me, keep my word. And he said, the Father will love you. Everyone, you know what I mean? I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, there's two ways to keep God's word. One of them is legalistically. I'm going to do it because I don't have a game coming, you know. And the other one is because we love to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we love to do His word.
Yeah.
And that kind of, the difference between the two is daylight and dark. There's a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, I do God's word. I read it, and I work to do God's word. But the other side is the one that he loves to do it. He loves to do God's word, which is evidence that he loves God, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's going to come a real separation sometime in the time ahead.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a real relationship with God to love to do His will.
Yeah.
It's because you're really sold out. And I think we're going to see a sold out. I saw something the other day. And I watched the Alaska, whatever it is, 90% of the time. But I happened to catch and I was talking about the Washington for Jesus thing of the black people. I remember years ago. And they had a march on Washington. I mean, they've done that a number of times. And I looked at them, I thought, you know what? I think some of the leaders in the day ahead are going to be black people. They have been shoved around and put down whatever for so many years. And it's not a big deal for them, you know. And they weren't necessarily people talking about the Lord. But you know what? There's a lot of black people that are real gung-ho.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a black minister from that went to the chapel. I'm trying to think what his name is. He's got cancer and he's in a wheelchair. And Steve and Derry were talking about him. And I can't think what his name is. I thought for a while I get it. But anyway, I listened to a little bit of what he had to say. And he's, I don't know, he kind of looked like he might be even blind. I don't know. But I tell you what, he's done it. He's not afraid of what he's got. That's a good guy team. You guys know his name, I'm afraid. But think of it. He's used to preach in the chapel. He was one of the chapelites.
I'm a long way from coming up with the man's name, but I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you would know it if you know if I could think of it. But I saw these black people, and I thought, you know what? That they won't be behind in this. You know, they've been pushed around for 20 years. That they'll be right in the middle of it, whatever God does. Yeah.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
I love that there's a place where it says, and anyway, it implies that there's only one blood and we're all of the same blood.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's not the exact way it's said. So, in other words, it's what runs in your veins that we're all alike. It doesn't matter what you look like.
Yeah.
God didn't make a distinction in the cave of blood.
No, no.
I'm leaving.
Okay.
There's a new air machine.
Okay.
It's turned on for 8 hours. It's good. I just gave Chuck a haircut. All the cleaning's done. Your deodorant comes Thursday.
Okay.
And there's pizza on the stove if you want to have one more than you think. I'm going to take Chuck with me. I'm going home. So call me.
Okay.
When you're wanting him back.
Okay.
Nice looking haircut you gave the man.
It's short now, seriously, and I'm kind of wondering if I ordered how short is it?
Okay.
Well, it's a 4, and then it's a 3 down there, and a 10 cut on the top. Is that it for you?
You got a haircut today, too.
Yeah.
It's all one.
Well, I was looking at my hair and I was thinking it was getting a little long.
Yeah, so was mine, but it's going to stay that way until the cold front gets by.
Whose glasses are these? Chuck was going to put them on.
Are they sunglasses?
Mm-hmm.
They're mine.
Oh, well, Chuck thought they were his.
Well, that's okay. I got another pair in the car.
Oh, okay. Charlie, your dishes.
Okay.
Yes. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Hey, Father, call me. Make sure to give Corky. It doesn't look like Corky's coming back right now.
No.
But that finger thing, Dad, belongs to Corky.
He's done here.
I know that.
Are we done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And any more? Here, Keith.
No.
Okay, well, this is good.
Bless you all.